Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, welcome to Blacktaculate, a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals, where we find out how they do what they do, so you can too. Or not. After all, it is your life.
Like I always say, you could be anywhere in the world, listen to anything, and you decided to listen to this. We can't stress how humbling that is, how important that is. And it's really why we continue doing what we do. So thank you for your time. Now, for those of you who've just stumbled upon this podcast, it is a podcast series featuring UK young black professionals where we find out how they do what they do so you can too. Now, before I introduce today's guest, I've got a really exciting announcement. We'll be hosting a panel discussion at this year's Shout Out Festival. If you haven't already heard about it, what the Shout Out Festival is, it's pretty much the first ever People of Colour podcast festival where you get to explore and find out other podcasters within our community. So where is this and how do you guys get involved? Well, it's in Bedford Way, Russell Square, and it's going to be on the 5th of August. So there's a lot more information. If you visit the Shout Out Live Festival website, and then if you were to go on their website, go to buy tickets, put in the discount code BLACKTICULATE5, and I believe you get, it might be £5 off. Every little helps, as they say in Tesco. So guys, really, really would love for you to get down there and just, you know, show us some love. But also the fact that the panel discussion will be about how to produce a commercially successful podcast, the in and outs. We're talking about the type of content, we're talking about the type of equipment needed, we're talking about how does one go about promoting and marketing, and what success really looks like from a podcast perspective. Honestly, if you're an aspiring podcaster, it's just going to be a lit event. It's just going to be an event where rub shoulders with like minds. Now, let's get into today's guest. Oh God. I'm smiling because she's a legend. So yeah, today's guest is Nadu Plaka, and she's a founder of an events management company called MP Present. Now guys, first and foremost, Nadu swears like a trooper, so please be warned. But honestly, she's nothing short of amazing. You know, all our guests are amazing, and that's why we have them. And she's been an events planner like since the jump, really. I mean, from the age of 18. Doing events at Royal Albert Hall, O2 Arena, Somerset House. So I'm just throwing out a few things just to let you know that she's about that life. Listening to her will be worthwhile, especially if you are looking to go into events planning. And last thing I want to mention before the episode plays is, guys, the room was unbelievably echoey. So please do forgive us regarding that. We weren't even sure whether to publish this, but the truth of the matter is the content is really useful, especially if you're trying to get into events planning. Now, without further ado, I bring to you Nadu. Mademoiselle, how am I saying your surname? Miss Plaka?
Yes, Plaka.
Plaka, where's that from?
Oh, that's a story within itself.
Okay.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's actually quite funny. So, for 30 years, 31 years, I actually thought I was Ghanaian.
Okay.
Unbeknown to me, I'm actually not.
Okay.
So the family bloodline is Togolese.
Ah, okay, well, neighbours.
Niger.
Yeah, well, Togo, Benin, that year in between.
Okay. Well, yeah, absolutely. And so basically the family way back when, before we were colonised. We're part of the Lawson family, which is a royal family.
Okay.
Apparently, when the British came over, they actually took two very famous and intellectual twins. They took one of them, educated him in the UK, right. Brought him back, and he basically took over the village, like, okay, I'm now the most educated, I'm taking over. Anyway, so we're part of the Lawson Akplakas. But when my great-great-grandfather was like, ah, I don't like this, because Akplaka actually meant the fat Lawsons.
Oh, okay.
So he was like, no, fuck that. Yeah, yeah. You can't talk to me like that. So he went 15 kilometres down the road, started his own village,
okay.
And changed the surname to Plaka.
I like it.
So it's actually a made-up surname, but we derive from the Lawsons. And then, started the other village, and then, so on and so on. So, but my dad was born in Ghana, so he was obviously had nationality, Ghanaian nationality, yeah. And therefore I am Ghanaian by nationality, but Togolese by blood.
Look at that,
random. No, but literally, it was the conversation that was
your
like
dead. Your grandpa is the ledge. He's like, forget that.
No, literally. But I was in the Ghanaian passport office, and like the guy's interviewing me, and I'm like, oh, yes, he's like, oh, where are you from? I'm like, oh, my dad's like, no, you're not Ghanaian. I'm like, yeah, I am. The guy's like, that surname is not Ghanaian. I'm like, yes, it is. So I'm texting my dad, like, dad, why is this man telling me I'm not Ghanaian? And he was like, well, actually, I was like, what do you mean? And it all came out on text. And so I was like, he was like, oh, yeah, and you actually had a great grandmother called, or a great grandfather, something called something, something Ebenezer. I was like, Dad, my ex-boyfriend's name was Ebenezer. Are you telling me we could have been related? He was like, yeah, probably so. I'm like, you're so casual about this. Like, so I literally posted, there were four of those screenshots on Instagram, and like the amount of phone calls and texts I was getting, people were dying.
That is hilarious. That is insane.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that is, wow, probably one of the best intros I could possibly have for my guests. Let me start this show. So guys, welcome to another episode of Blacticulate. But for those of you who don't actually know what Blacticulate is, we feature UK young black professionals, where we try and find out what they do, specifically how they do it, so you can too. And the voice we had in front of us is Nadu Plaka.
not Lawson Akplaka.
So Nadu, I'm going to throw it to you, man. Tell the listeners who you are, and then we'll just roll from there.
I am simply an aspiring adult who is currently unemployed and homeless.
You are silly. You are so silly.
That's honestly how I look at my life, because, no, in all seriousness, because I don't even feel like an adult. Like, some of the things I do, I'm like, oh, I remember my mum used to do this when I was younger. Like, okay, traveling the world. Like, I was abroad for 3 months at a time. Like, who does that? Like, am I an adult? I don't feel like a fucking adult. My bills are like
an adult.
And I feel like I'm unemployed because I'm always traveling. I came back the other day, everyone's like, oh, how long are you here for? I'm like, I don't know, a week? All right, cool.
But you're traveling for work. It's not like you travel for pleasure. Or trying to,
Equally so. But yes, so who am I? I do event management.
Boom.
I guess.
That was so painful for you to say.
I know, because
Nadu just literally, she stopped and she went, oh, okay, fine, I've got to be serious.
Yeah, because I know you want me to like give the actual line, like, what's your job title or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know, like, I can honestly say I don't think I've done, like, what's put money in my account in the last year hasn't been solely events.
Okay.
There's so many things off the back of, which have just come from the experience that, of doing events over years.
Gotcha.
But you kind of delve into different things and like.
So that's one. That's an entrepreneurial sort of spirit whereby.
So whatever, I'm unemployed. Yeah. I'm homeless.
Well, you're not unemployed. Nor homeless, because I think you've got renting and you've brand new car as of late the last week, right?
No.
Okay, 2 weeks ago. Well, this month, whatever.
What are you talking about? New car.
BMW.
That's not new.
Is it not?
No.
How old is it?
2 years old.
Okay, yeah, whatever, Pinocchio. All right, Nadu, so events management.
Yes.
Right, okay, let's actually bring you back in, because, as you guys probably know, I always prep my guests, well, I kind of prep them, with some few questions that I will be asking, just to help out, if needed. And you said to me, when you were growing up, you wanted to be a lawyer.
A long time ago.
Okay, let's start with growing up. Do you have siblings, brothers, sisters?
No, I'm an only child. I grew up...
Funny that.
Oh, piss off. I don't know what people mean when they say that. So I'm an only child. I grew up... my parents were married up until, I think, the age of 9.
Right.
And then I got two of everything, which was great.
Where'd you grow up?
Catford.
Okay, southeast.
Yeah, it wasn't like as gully as it is now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. What do you mean gully?
That I think Catford's a bit of a, I don't know. Through certain areas that I don't know. I just don't like Catford.
Isn't it getting gentrified?
Fritz, I love Fritz.
It's getting gentrified, right? Catford.
Like everywhere in London.
Yeah. Okay.
But from when you've got a Costa, tick, gentrification.
Say no more.
Deptford, there's now a Costa.
Is there?
I was like, that's it, guys. It's over.
Where else can we go apart from the corners of the earth? You bastards.
You'll fucking put a Starbucks right there.
So, okay, your parents, did they influence you?
Most definitely. I mean, my parents always took me out. Like, my dad did events anyway.
Oh, did he?
So he took me to loads of different... He had something called Singer's Paradise.
Singer's Paradise.
Yeah. Do you remember a group called Emanate?
No.
How old are you? Maybe you're too young.
No.
We're the same age.
31, yeah.
Yeah, Emanate, like old school black group. Anyway, so they originated from there and some other people as well. And so I used to go to events and I used to help my dad like backstage. And stuff like, oh, here's the microphone. So he always taught me like how to wind wires. And even at primary school, we had a head teacher, which is mad. He actually siphoned off a lot of money from school.
Right.
And because he was interested in music and did a massive studio and everything in the actual school. But we all learned how to do like stage setup, etc. So how to do mics, how to do backline, everything.
Jeez.
And my mum always took me to exhibitions and lots of arty party things. So I was always...
Was she an artist?
Photographer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's always quite cultured in that respect.
Okay, gotcha.
So yeah, I guess always in the creative industry, you don't really realise until you're older, you look back and you're like, oh yeah, that kind of helped me on this journey.
Yeah, 100%. That apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Indeed.
So what was this law thing, or lawyer thing? How did that come about?
I have no idea. That was years ago. Okay. Probably, I think I'm good in an argument in terms of talking, and I thought that was enough to get me to look. Then I realised, I think, how much I had to read, and I was like, yeah, forget that.
Okay, but I mean, events management. Let's talk about the rungs and how you actually get into that, if you don't mind, because that is your profession.
So there's different avenues, and you know, there's always that discussion, is it, you know, hands-on experience and then working your way through or up, or, you know, going to university and, you know, taking that route. And I don't know, it's a difficult one because I think 10 years ago, I did my degree, oh my God, I started 11 years ago, so in 2006.
Right, I know, we get old.
And at the time, it was very popular. Like now, I don't think as much, maybe, you know, it went through a little phase. Everyone was like, oh my God, event management.
Right.
And it was very popular, but equally so, I met a load of people who never went to university and kind of took the route that way. Right. I was lucky because I had work in the event industry. And also did
whilst
university.
Whilst doing university, so maybe.
So I had the two that complemented each other.
Right, interesting. Because, but it doesn't really matter then if you have a degree in it or not.
I think it helps. I think degrees help anyway in terms of just, you know, having a certain level of education, you know, that you can learn and you can deliver at a certain level as well. Honestly, in terms of it, when I employ staff, it helps because it's nice to know. But I don't think, you know, definitely in this industry, it's who you know, it's not what you know. So I think if you know the right people, you know, the same doors will be opened equally.
I agree with you on that 100%. Do you remember your first client?
I do.
Right.
That's so weird. I had a conversation about him yesterday with a friend of mine.
Did you?
He
hit us. Well, how's the story? How did that happen?
I'll tell you. So I was queuing up to hand in my coursework, or whatever you do at university, and the guy was in the queue. So at this time, I was working part-time for an organisation happening called Rising Tide.
Rising Tide?
Yeah, okay. So I did some work with them.
What did they do?
It's event management. So I was doing, they were doing shows and loads of gigs and stuff.
Ah, gotcha.
So when I first started working with like your Tiny Temper and Ironic at those times, so like really big names at the time.
Dang.
Anyway, so this guy was in front of me and I'm like, you know, because he's on the phone but he didn't talk to him. So he's talking and he's like, oh, but do you know what? We're going to talk about the first instance, then we're going to talk about the last instance.
Okay.
And all about not being inner, but just being, you know, certain situations you're put in positions for a reason.
Right.
And I don't know if you've read The Celestine Prophecy.
I have. Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield. Is that right? Yeah.
Changed my life. Okay. The person that gave it to me is an idiot, but the book honestly changed my life.
Yeah.
And I give it to everyone. Anyway, so I met this guy. So he's talking. He's basically saying, oh, he's got something happening, an event, which was up across the road from where I was working in Hackney. So I was like, what is he doing? Like, I want to know what this guy's up to. So I said, no, tapped him on the search.
Whilst he was on the phone, you tapped him on the
show. No, when he's finished, obviously, they're like, hey, come off the phone. When he finished the conversation,
oh, that's hilarious.
I just tapped him on the shoulder and I'm like, you know, sorry to disturb. I didn't mean to eardrop, but what you're doing is opposite what I'm doing. You know, what is it? Tell me more. Turns out this guy was the executive producer or whatever of Dubplate Drama.
Tell us. What is that?
Oh my God, Dubplate Drama. It was like a TV show. I'm sure it was on Channel 4 or something, or Channel AKA or whatever it was.
Yeah,
It was basically with like all the urban MCs and UK artists. And you could basically choose an ending to a story every week. And so it would change. And so it was quite popular at the time. And so when he told me, I was like, oh my God, wow. So it turned out he was doing auditions. He actually gave me my first gig. And I'm sure I got paid £1,000. And I did one day's work. It was nothing. So I was like, oh my God, £1,000. This is amazing. And we did some dance event on the roof of...
So he was looking for people.
No. He was just doing an audition. Right. He was auditioning people to come and act for the next... Oh, I think they were looking to do a theatre production of Dubplate Drama.
Right.
And so we just got talking. I was like, oh, I do events. He's like, oh, actually, I have an event coming up that I need support
with.
How
old were you?
20...
Because it's uni, right?
Or so.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So you were an adult here. You didn't fear anyone in that sense.
I don't know that word, adult. No, I just literally took it on. And so did this event on the roof of... oh my God, South Bank Centre.
Oh wow.
And it was actually a massive event. And it was like, oh my God, this is pretty good. So, you know, just taking that leap of faith was amazing. And then fast forward to now, in terms of what I was saying before, I was in Johannesburg, randomly saw a producer called Nana Kwabena, who produces for Jidenna. So he produced Jidenna's whole last album.
Oh wow.
So I actually followed him on Instagram and I saw he was in South Africa and I posted on his page like an hour before, saying to my friends, like, oh, guys, where is this? He went bungee jumping. Like, guys, where is this? I want to go. An hour later, he walks into the hotel. I mean,
no way.
And even the chance that I'm in that hotel, I was on a plane, and a friend of mine, Eddie Caddy, he was on the plane as well. We both get off the plane, look at each other like, were you on that fucking flight? Were you on, what the heck are you doing? What are you doing in South Africa?
Right.
So he just happened to say, look, come to my hotel, let's hang out. So he was there with a few other people. And the guy just literally walks into the hotel and I was like, I just posted on his Instagram an hour ago. This is very surreal.
Right.
And so I was what do I do? Yeah. What do I do? So I was literally texting one of my friends. Like, he's just walked in. Like, I don't know if I have the confidence to go speak to him.
Really?
Someone next to me said, I don't have the confidence to speak to people that I don't know. As soon as I heard that and it tied into what I was typing, I was like, right, let's go. I'll find him. And I walked up to him, started talking to him. He was just like, yeah, the guy was so cool. Like, so mellow.
So down, really.
You know, like,
yeah,
one of those...
Oh,
I follow you on Instagram.
Is that how you started?
No, but not in, like, a creepy way. But it was always, you know, knowing that I had to give that line, it's like, how do I open this conversation?
Yeah.
Guy was cool. Looks like we might be doing some work together in terms of I'm trying to get him on a gig that I'm doing over in London. And his manager and I have just, like, hit off, and she's invited me to LA. I booked my flight today.
Look at you.
And so I'm just like... But it's all just because, you know, taking that risk and just... And they've got an event in LA at the end of the year. I'm pitching myself to do it. Who knows? I could be doing an event in LA.
But let's not be around the bush. You're also very good at your job.
I would like to think so, yes.
Well, you have to be, surely, in order for you to continuously get work.
Do you know what? Sometimes I don't think I'm good at my job.
Okay.
When I don't get work. So, you know, like, if you have a quiet period.
Yeah.
I'm like, am I even good at events?
That's
interesting. You know, like, questioning myself, like, do I know how to do a Gantt chart and a risk assessment? Am I good at this? And then you get the event and you're like, yeah, man, I'm hot fire!
Okay, let's think about, so what are the markers for someone who is good at an event and someone who isn't? So anyone who's listening is probably like thinking, okay, these are what I need to make sure I'm shit hot at to be a good event organizer, manager.
Mm.
And maybe these are the things that if I'm this sort of person as a character, maybe I really event isn't for me.
Do you know what? I think there are enough events in the world happening that there are enough event managers to kind of make up and to deliver on. Like, honestly, for me, business and, you know, most of my business has been through word of mouth. So, and I say to even my students, I tell them, like, I'm never afraid to kind of put you in contact with people that I know because people will buy into you because of you equally, and they buy into me because of me. So I think, number one, you definitely have to be organized. That kind of helps.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of organizing.
Like spreadsheet kind of organized?
I'm very paper heavy.
Okay.
To a degree, like I like making things look pretty and doing all of the paper. Like, I hate risk assessments and I hate Gantt charts.
What are those? What is a Gantt chart?
No, it's just how to plan. So essentially, you put all the things that you need to do over a period of time. So if your event's in 6 weeks, you do it over 6 weeks.
Right.
Work backwards from the date, and then you essentially can see where you're at weekly. It's a very long process in terms of putting one together.
But it's essential.
But it's essential.
Yeah. You're looking around, weren't you?
Yeah, because I need to find the Gantt chart for the group that I was teaching the other day. Like, shit, where did they put it? Oh, yeah. but yeah, so definitely has to be organized. Definitely helps. I mean, I've come up with my own formats and different things that work for me in terms of paperwork. But apart from that, it's you. Your personality is what's going to take it.
Can you be an introvert and be a good events manager?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think, like, I have a lot of friends who are event managers, but they're all quite extrovert.
Yeah. Because, I mean, without shadow of doubt, I'm sure my listeners can agree, even just listening to you, you are very bubbly and you're very, the energy, guys. I mean, you don't have the privilege, but if you were sitting opposite me right now, or rather with me, you'll see Nadu is like, she's about that. And you probably also noticed she was name dropping bare famous people as well.
Who?
You know, Eddie Caddy. No, I just booked my tickets. I know Jordana. I know this.
I don't know Jordana.
You'll bring it to fruition. No, I'm teasing. But the point is, it almost seems like to be a great events manager, you definitely need to be of a bubbly personality.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to, like, you know, segregate people who aren't, because I think, you know, everyone's own personality definitely has attributes into the, you know, the roles that they do in their jobs. I mean, if you can, you know, you can be introvert, and as long as you can, you know, network with people and get on with things, I think as long as you push yourself just a little bit, you know, then I don't see why not. But I think it definitely helps having, you know, something for some people to kind of bounce off of and kind of be energized. Because for me, like, when anyone who's ever worked with me, they'll tell me, like, we can be in the most stressful situations. I'm there cracking jokes. Because, number one, events are hard as it is. Like, no one wants to be under, you know, even more immense stress on the day, especially.
Yeah.
I always try to go above and beyond in terms of, you know, making people feel comfortable, and, you know, shit always goes wrong on the day.
Yeah. Let's talk about those challenges. And specifically, do you think you have more challenges because of your race and gender?
Oh, yes.
Do you have any stories that you can sort of...
Do you know what? It's weird. Because I think when I do events in Nigeria, although I am black, going back to Africa and doing events, people don't look at me as black. So it's like, oh, great, I've just jumped into another situation that doesn't work for me as a benefit. No, the events industry in the UK, predominantly white.
Right.
Like 100%. I remember one of the first events I did, I volunteered at, was Lucian People's Day. Which, you know, an outdoor festival, quite nice and chilled. And we had 3 months to hand in an application, which was just a double-sided piece of paper, which was just your name and then what role you wanted to do. And I handed mine in 3 months before anyone else.
Right.
And then I got one of the best positions, worked there, and someone actually saw me and recommended, and I did some work on Thames Festival.
Amazing.
When I was at Thames Festival, I had the privilege of being in the production office and working. I was the only black person there. And it was at that point I was like, okay. But I also knew that for me to be here as the only black person, I'm doing a very good job.
Yeah.
Which was really, really hard to see, and I'm sure it's not like that at all anymore. But definitely the higher up you go,
the less black,
the less melanin.
Yes, no. But was your voice being heard? Were you,
definitely
being respected? No.
Absolutely. No, I was.
You was?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's almost, because there's so few of us, does it almost seem like there's an advantage being, I guess, for lack of a better word, a token?
I don't think there's an advantage, because I think there's a lot of stigma around, let's say, like, black event organizer or black events, period. Because even when I tell people I'm an event manager, they're like, oh, what raves do you do? Bro, I don't do raves, innit?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't say I do raves. And when I tell people, look, Royal Albert Hall, even start programming the O2 Arena.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You know, Somerset House done the Lafayette in Japan in terms of these massive exhibitions. But like, people were like, oh, okay, you actually, like, Lagos Marathon, you know, oh, okay, you do events. Yes. Yeah. You know, when there are not a lot of, you know, black event managers that I, you know, that I know, and a lot of people that I do know, they will work with me. And right. So a lot of friends who I have with event managers, I try to work on their projects and they work on mine. So it's like,
you just share and, yeah, absolutely. Lift that, and lift, raise that time.
Elevate.
I love that. So let me throw a little slide shade. What's this about, you know, black people and tardiness? Colour people time, like...
I didn't say anything that? About black people
I've never
time.
Said, I've never said you did.
Are you saying that because I was late today?
I'm just saying, like, you know, you're half an hour late. All I'm saying is, you know, brother's got...
Okay, so let's just make something very clear.
Oh, wait, what's up?
A mouse! Oh my fucking God. I knew I saw one in here the other day. Did you see it? It's like behind there. Anyway, we digress.
How could I think of that?
No, you should keep that.
I should actually. Should
so, to everyone that's listening, let's make something very clear.
Right.
Yes, I may have been half an hour late. However.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you know where I'm going with this, don't you? No, you haven't. So we were originally supposed to do this interview in 2015.
Wow.
2015. That was 2 years ago. So you want to talk about shade? I got night for you.
Wow, Nadu. Jesus. Actually, in fairness, Nadu is one of very good friends of Nastasha, which, guys, you most likely will know as the cake lady,
the indulgent sugar plum.
She was my very first ever episode.
Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be number 2. Now I'm apparently number 37.
Wow. Okay, let's go back to this. Well, geez, you're derailing this combo. No, I'm joking. So I do want to actually talk about you just personally and being a black lady killing it in a predominantly white industry.
Mm.
Are there any stories that you can almost share with us about you being made to feel your race, your gender, like... Does that make sense? Because there's a bit where you said something about you felt black when you went to Norwich. Tell me more about that story.
Well, no, that's nothing to do with events.
Oh, is that just, nothing to do with events?
No, it's just like being 6 years old going to Norwich. Like, obviously, that's in like 1991. There were no black people in Norwich. Right. So it was like, okay, standing out, that was so fun. So I was kind of used to it. But in terms of work, I think it's
I'm just wondering how you navigate that space.
I don't even know anymore. Like,
do you shut it down?
Now it's not even relevant because I feel, and I've got so far to go, but I feel like I've come so far already.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that it's irrelevant to me. I know I'm good at what I do. I know what I deliver is of like a very high standard. So none of that even, it doesn't even come into play. Going into meetings and those things anymore doesn't mean anything. But in the beginning, like, definitely more so, even afraid to, you know, speak out and have certain conversations. Just the fear that, you know, my opinion would be judged.
Mm-hmm.
I might say the wrong thing and I'd make myself look stupid and also the company I'm with. And then, you know, holding that in and then someone else would have that courage and say the actual question. And then I'm sitting there like, oh, great, no one's going to ask that.
Yeah,
right. You know, it took time to kind of build up past that and realise, actually, you do know what you're talking about. You know, all your opinions and everything is valid and, you know, just go out there and do it. What's something's going to happen? Someone will be like, no, that's not right. And then you just move on.
I think that's a great piece of advice. So people shouldn't bite their tongue in fear of potentially, I guess there's the reason they do it is job security.
Maybe.
They fear that.
Maybe. I've had one job in my life.
Yeah, but you're working. You're continuously working.
I dropped out of college.
Okay, you know. So I was at
college for 3 months, and then I was like, nah, I'm not about this life.
Oh, really?
So I went and got a job. J-O-B.
Okay.
If you're with me. Bullshit. So I basically got a job. One of my friends said it means just over broke, and I've always thought about that. Like,
that's funny. Just over broke.
That's how you feel. Is what I feel like that now. Then I went back. And then I had my daughter, and I was like, okay, I'm responsible for another human being. I should probably get an education.
Right, gotcha.
Went back, did an access course, then went to university. So in that interim time, so probably from the age of 18 right through to 21, I just volunteered loads of places, like as many as possible.
Right.
Like, my dad had a few contacts, like his friends put me in touch with people, and then kind of went from there. So by the time I started uni, I think in my final year, I got a phone call, a company that I volunteered for, headhunted me, were like, look, we've got a job for you if you want to come back. I was like, oh my gosh, perfect.
Yeah, amazing. And you haven't looked back ever since.
And yeah, and literally it's just been word of mouth since then.
Amazing. So I wanted to ask you more about your company and how you started, because there's a bit of a story behind that, right? You started off with someone, and then...
I've started off with many people.
Yeah.
So you're
hating me a little bit today.
Not at all. Okay, so you're throwing the things that I spoke to you about in confidence into this public forum. It's okay. I'm happy to discuss. It's part of my life and part of my journey. Shade. So I initially went into business with a friend of mine from university, and that didn't work out. I think it got to a stage. I felt like I was doing a lot more in terms of the contacts were mine. I was doing a lot more work. You know, I know what my weaknesses are, which is like the back-end admin stuff. And I needed support there. And this was what this other girl was doing. And she was like, no, I got down to it. I think we had £200 in the company bank account. And she was like, yeah.
So 50. The company was like 50-50 split?
No, it wasn't. So there were three of us, then the third dropped out. And then that's the conversation we were now having.
Right.
So we're like, well, now how do we split? So I was an original member with a friend of mine. This other girl joined, so there were three of us. Then my other friend left, so there was just a two.
Right.
So then she was like, oh yeah, so 50-50. But I was kind of like, well, no, because number one, I'm the founder.
Right.
Number two, it's kind of like my contacts, everything that's putting us through business. And, you know, I was like 51-49. She was like, no. And at that point, I was like, cool. Because 50% of nothing is nothing.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
sure.
God, it takes the nothing.
Yeah.
I literally left it like that. And then I had another friend I went into business with, and she just went psycho, stole a laptop from my house, called the police, told them I stole all the equipment from the office, called the banks, told them I stole all the money from the banks. I was just like, and literally changed the shares on the company and like, removed me as a director, then realised the company owed money, so added me back as a director. I was like, okay, I don't think you're well, but okay, this is what you want to do.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it got to a friend. My friend was like, do you want to retaliate? And he was like, look, can you run the business without her? And I was like, well, yeah, it's all about me. Like, people, like I said, people buy into you.
Right.
And so I just walked away.
Did you have debt?
Yeah, only a few things.
Right.
So I think we owed some pen providers, got their pens. There are probably pens all over London in some of these pens that we ordered. There's like pens and like a few other things. It wasn't even a lot of money.
Was this for your company or was it more for an event you were doing?
No, it was for the company.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I paid 50% of all my shit and kept it moving.
Right, gotcha.
And then she filed for bankruptcy.
Right, look at that. Guys, if you can actually see the news.
No, it's a good way to get out of debt, do you know what I mean? Wish I thought of that. She's a smart cookie.
Oh, have you been in debt? Like, apart from obviously the stuff that just happened, but it's post that.
Oh, babe, I owe my university loan. They're never getting that, ever. That's 30 grand that the government will never see from me, ever.
Wow, the dude's fire.
Why? Okay. No, education should be free. I don't understand. I'm sure there are countries in Europe.
Yeah, there are. Like Scandinavian countries
there
specifically.
You go.
Yeah.
Why, you know, we're supposed to be giving back to this country. Why not? So I'm going to take my money elsewhere, isn't it? I'm going to Nigeria and make some money there.
Okay, so there's this expression where it goes, a wise person learns from the mistakes of others. So I'm just curious to know whether or not you can make my audience and myself wise in trying to avoid, I guess, the hardships that you've gone through thus far. Does that make any
just
sense?
Listen to your intuition. Like, honestly...
You say that, don't you? Your gut reaction to things.
It counts for so much. I think I personally think we do not listen to ourselves enough.
Right.
And just, like, the thing is, you may not even realise, you know, like, there's a niggling voice. Like, even today, I went to leave the house, and I turned around and was like, oh, my jacket. Like, oh, I should bring a jacket, because this weather is a bit... sporadic. We don't know what's going to happen. And then another voice said to that voice, no, you're driving, so it's okay.
Right.
And it's that second voice, which is the one that makes excuses for things that, like, you don't realize because you're always having conversations with yourself. Right. But you don't realize that actually you need to listen to the first voice, because I then got in the car, went to take my journey, and then I realized that there was too much traffic, so I had to jump on the train. So now I'm jumping on the train without no coat. And if I just listen to my voice, and you know, that's small instances.
Yeah, no, I hate
like very, very basic things that you do every day subconsciously. Like, oh, I'm going to get up and go to the gym. Oh, but I can lie in a little bit longer. Okay, cool. You've already started. Like, it's, you know, overcoming.
So never second guess yourself.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And like, you're always going to make mistakes in business. You know, I've had several businesses and made several mistakes. But yeah, you just learn and you grow from them. You know, I think it's that feeling you can hear, but those who cannot hear must feel. So even if I'm telling people an advice based on my own experience, you know, people will be like, okay, well, cool, that was her. That may not work for me. You have to go through that yourself to, you know, figure out the best way for you.
100%. I mean, you can always know the theory, but you need to experience it through bodily experience.
Absolutely.
Like, fire's hot, right? We know that in theory. But I'll teach your body get burned. Boy, do you know it's hot.
Exactly.
No, I'm totally with you. Okay, Nadu, but can I give you the full range? Because you do teach this. This is another one of your money-making, like, arms or services.
Yes.
So is there anything that we haven't really spoken about that people ought to know if they do want to almost emulate your success or just go into events management field?
I think with events management, you definitely have to look within your networks.
Okay.
In terms of, if you want to start something up for yourself, definitely start doing events for people around you and then kind of build from there. And again, this is just starting from my own experience.
Of course.
And then, yeah, just go out and get as much experience as you can outside, because then those experiences, those conversations will hopefully turn into future business, networks being built, connections being built. Because, you know, they say 7 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
I don't know what year they said that in. Like, right now, I feel it's at least 2.
Yeah, because especially technology.
Absolutely. Even 1 in some cases. And so I think, you know, knowing the advances we have and the opportunities that are potentially out there, it can all just happen just from, you know, coincidence, conversation, and an opportunity.
Okay, so walk me through this, because you're talking about networking. But how do you network, and how do you network well? Because the plethora of networking events, where it's just people giving business cards and not really caring.
Do you know what's so funny? I hate networking events.
Right, yeah.
I'm actually going to one next week. I don't enjoy putting myself in that scenario because I feel like it's a bit fake.
Yeah, it's contrived.
Yeah, like, how do I go and approach someone like, oh, hi, I'm Nadu, what do you do? Like, I don't care, innit? No, but honestly, because for me, it's all about energy and, like, you walk into a room. Like, if I go to a networking event, I'll walk into a room and I will look at someone who looks interesting.
Right, okay.
And then that will naturally be, okay, like, that I want to talk to them based on that reason. But I don't like it when people just randomly go up to you and be like, hi.
So give me your approach. So you find someone who's interesting.
I don't. I literally just stand in the corner. I hate networking.
Really?
I feel so nervous. Like, I spoke at one. I went with Stasher, actually. I took her.
What was the event?
It was at Institute of Directors, IOD.
IOD.
It was in the IOD. And we sat down there and I had to do a little pitch about myself. And I'm quite gregarious and, like, outgoing and very graphic in terms of my delivery, so it was fine. Sorry. It was my bracelet.
You've been jingling all over the place. It's going to be a nightmare post. Cheers. Yeah.
Yeah, IOD. It was just uncomfortable. It was really
How come you had to do a pitch?
No, I opted to.
Ah, I see.
Because I wanted to push myself out. I'm like, no, it was horrible. Because I talk very fast.
Right.
I talk very fast.
Okay.
And unconsciously, I need to not.
So there's no real tips in being able to know how to network better and how you continue a relationship that might not necessarily be instantly fruitful?
Oh, I think if it's not instantly fruitful, then...
Cut it.
Not cut it, but just be aware.
Okay.
Because you can't really force things. Yeah. I have, no, not anymore, but I've probably met clients in the past and, like, you go to have a conversation and you just don't click.
Mm.
You've got to think, okay, if I'm going to be doing business with this person, how will that work? And it won't.
No,
so you just got to find the best way to kind of deal with it. Obviously, networking, millions of business cards. But just, I think definitely throw yourself out there, because you never know. And I do talk to people, just because I feel uncomfortable about it and I don't like it, it doesn't mean I don't do it. Like, I do, because
you
I
know the value of it. Yeah, 100%.
Look at that. So yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what comes of next week. But then you also have to think, like, depending on when you go and depending on the type of people that are in attendance, are these actually people that are going to bring you business? So often, because I started working in the music industry, I know a lot of people within the music industry, so now I don't need to go to certain events. It's the same people,
yeah.
The same thing. Like, there was even an event the other day, and I was like, okay, do I really want to go to this event? No. The target audience that are there, are they likely to buy my product? Like, are they likely to buy my service, I should say? And I ascertained, no, I could have been completely wrong, because that's happened to me before. I didn't want to go to an event, and I went and had two opportunities of business.
Right.
I don't think that actually turned out into anything. But again, it's just, you know, expanding your network. And I definitely think it's important to do so, because there are so many different jobs out there, like so many different industries, so many different things that you are unaware of.
Right.
Like, just by having a conversation with someone, you'll be like, oh, I didn't know what that was. Oh, you do this. Oh, okay.
So interesting. So what I'm actually almost extracting from what you're saying is, first and foremost, like, actually know which events will be worth your time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you ascertain that?
Word of mouth. So if someone's attended them before.
Before, right.
That's okay. A very good way to find out. Look at previous events that they've done, you know, and see. You could go there and be wrong, but better to take the risk and go. You know, I remember when I first started doing events, I guess you could say I was a bit of an event whore. Like, I was at every bloody event. You know, just for the pure fact that I wanted to build my contact.
Yeah, 100%.
But then as you kind of refine them, you just realise it's expensive in terms of not just going to the events, but also maintaining those relationships.
Mm.
You know, because it's like, oh yeah, let's meet up for a coffee, and then a lunch, and then a dinner, and then and you're just like, oh my God, I spent a whole day eating out. And then that becomes the norm.
Yeah.
Which is my life now. I'm saying this, I'm just having this realisation, like, oh my God, I eat out too much.
Okay, then T. Quick fire questions.
I'm ready.
Nice, lighthearted, because we've gone in deep and you have given us a world of wisdom and gems. Hopefully some stuff that people can actually action.
Probably not. Okay.
Well, what do you mean probably not? All the time. But you know, worse. I don't think I've ever had such a disruptive guest in my entire show.
Good.
Yeah.
It means it's gonna be a different show.
Clearly.
Good.
No, but real talk. Actually, now that you've got me thinking, I'm not going to ask these quick fire ones.
Why? I want to know the quick fire ones.
No, I want to know, is there anything that my audience can actually action? One bit of advice you can get them to do after listening to you or us?
Can you be more specific, please?
Yeah, towards event management. What, any resources? What are the trade
just
publications?
Just drop me an email. I'll let you know.
Drop.
That, honestly, I'm so open to just supporting people, especially people of
colour.
Oh, look at that.
Boom. That's why you're on Blacticulate.
Yay.
Black excellence. Yay. You already know. Let's Yay. Raise that tide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate you. Okay, so light fire questions.
Okay.
What would you spend your last £5 on in this current climate?
I would buy a Euro Millions ticket and 3 bags of popcorn. One for Honey, that's my daughter.
Yeah.
One for me now. I love candy floss.
Well, first and foremost, like, Euro Millions, isn't it like, what, £2.50?
No, £2.
Nah, I think it's gone up.
What?
I think it has. Honestly, because I played when there was like, there's
100.
Right.
All right, 2 bags of popcorn. 2 bags of candy floss, and then I'll put 50p in savings.
Perfect. I love that. So, I've given you a TED Talks platform, right? But it can't be within your profession of events management. What are you teaching or what are you speaking about?
I'm trying to think of the wording for it.
Oh, okay.
I think it would... No. I don't know. I don't know. Like, what can I talk about? Just life, babe. It's just life.
Just life. The life of Nadu.
Honestly. No, do you know what?
Innovation.
So many things happen in my life that people just think is so surreal. Like, they're like, no, Nadu, you need a TV show. Because honestly, the things that happen, like, you're just like, how did that happen to you? Like, and just...
Give me an example.
No, just random things that
you
happen.
You can't
like,
tease us like that.
No, just like random things that happen in terms of business. Just like, I met that guy in Johannesburg and then on from here and then on from here.
Yes.
And just like random things like that. Like, I've had fallouts with best friends, like Like, how does someone come into your house and steal your laptop? Like, I don't understand. Like, you were friends for 20 years. Like, your parents are best friends, your kids are best friends. Like, how does that happen? Just, like, very random things. But they're also very hilarious.
But what are the lessons within that that you could teach? That's what TED Talks is about.
Do you know, and I always have to revert back to like everything that just revolves around that book, which just feels weird because I'm not...
Suicide Prophecy.
Yeah, like so many things just about...
Because it was all about him choosing the options that give him the most pleasure and beauty, right?
Mm.
And then he was vibrating a higher frequency at the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, there are several books.
Yeah, there is. I don't think any others. Okay, so the last but not least, I actually want to ask you, because this is Blacktaculate, which is Black Action Articulate. What is probably one of the worst words or most hated word in the English language for you?
Moist.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't like that word.
Okay. And before I ask you how we can find you and how we can show you some love and whatnot, how would you like to be remembered?
How would I like to be remembered?
Yeah.
In terms of when I leave this place?
Yeah, when I dare say you're 6 feet under.
No, I'm not going to be buried. Oh my God, I'm going to be cremated.
Cremated, yeah.
Oh gosh, it was a waste of money putting me on the ground. a character. Like, honestly, someone who... essentially very gregarious and very empathetic and just cared and loved a lot. Loved, just lots of love.
Yeah, no, I don't have any doubt those who know you feel that way now.
Yay!
So how can we find you, and when we do, what is it that you'd like from us? Can we help you out with anything? Is there any promotion you want to...
No.
Put out there?
No, there's not. Like,
okay.
I've got any big events in Slashly yet, calling it. No, but honestly, like, I'm very open to, you know, giving words of wisdom to other people or support and, like, connecting people. Like, I always like to think of myself as a person that connects dots. Like, okay, you've got a problem. I may have someone who has a solution and then can just connect people likewise. So, yeah, drop an email or Instagram, which is at N4DUP. And my email
at N4
yes
D-U-P.
As in the number 4, N4DUP.
Okay. That's your Instagram.
That's my Instagram.
Okay. Twitter, LinkedIn.
Same thing. Instagram, oh. Twitter's the same. LinkedIn, Naji Plaka, not Lawson Akplaka.
Guys, I'll throw that in the show notes on how you can get in touch for sure.
And yeah, that's it. If you like me, 079.
you've been amazing. You literally been amazing. So I can't thank you enough for sharing some wisdom. If guys, as always, if there's anything that I didn't actually ask to do and you're like, Ada, you're slipping, you know, please let me know, because what we can do possibly is get her back for round twos.
Yay, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
I promise not to talk so much.
No, we want you to talk as much as you can. We might actually have to go to her. She'll be in Nigeria or LA or Japan.
Yeah.
She'll just be killing it. So watch this space. But once again, guys, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Do stay tuned for another episode of Blacktaculate.
Mm.
Thank you.
That was fun.
Yeah. Hey, guys. How did you find the episode? I hope it was useful. We're always trying to make this as useful as possible to you. So if you do what it is our guest did, and there were things that we didn't cover or the things that we didn't talk about, then please get in touch. And secondly, if you are able to teach us what it is you do as a profession, then also get in touch, because we would love to feature you on Blacktaculate. And you can do that via our social media accounts or even our email, which is contact@blacktaculate.com. We appreciate your support as always, and we'll see you on the next episode of Blacktaculate. Have a great day. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.